outside, you had to.
I would have always told they didn't like it too long.
No, well, it doesn't leave it there too long, do you?
Your marvellous cyclamen, you don't leave it at heat.
Oh, no, indeed, we've hardly used that room since we had the television room, because it's so cosy. And you see, it's cold, you also rush it out. Take it out now.
I do, I will.
What's that though?
The cyclamen.
The cyclamen.
It's so beautiful, and we've seen it now, I enjoyed it, and it just is so very warm for it there. It's simply glorious.
Hasn't it now, wonderful?
You ought to stand in that glorious bowl.
Oh, now, don't you dare.
You want to put it in Mel's lovely bowl?
Hot rooms, they don't do so well.
Put it in there.
Wouldn't it look lovely?
Oh, yes, it would, but it would pass.
Shatter it.
Oh, yes, I wouldn't dare.
I've been broken twice in my lifetime.
Yes, I know.
This wine is a shocking look dark. It was very much recommended by the Wine Society. An Italian wine. I hope that...
I hope it's not full of this thing they're sending it all back for.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, that's got a specific name.
Oh, Mr. Cheap Wine.
This isn't a cheap wine.
No, well,
it's just imagine some hanging down one.
Yes, you know, I put
a cheap one.
I put it in the space in front of that top. Girls, can I please persuade you not to touch that dish, whatever else? If you need to slide it, then do so, you see, that sort of thing. Right. Doing it tidily is always the thing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's the thing I had to give up years ago.
Mm. What?
Trying to
doing it tidily?
Because I can't see,
I know, that's the problem. Molly, please don't touch that dish, will you? That's chipped potatoes in there. And you can see what that is, can't you? That's
vaguely
carrots and peas. You've had a problem with damp, Molly, Noel tells me.
Well, it isn't specifically in the house, it's just because I'm now coping with Swin, who has acted like a shoemaker. Shoemaker's son's always on the yard. I'm coping with what he did 30 odd years ago.
Oh.
And it's all got bad. I mean, the I shall have to have completely new guttering in the summer because you cannot get anything to mend the old because it's the wrong size. And the only bit of damp I've got is in one corner of the house, but it came from a blocked downpipe.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's awful.
No, no, not a blocked one, but I mean, there's a space like that. There's a space like
carry
that.
On
between
behind it.
Carry on
the things. Yes. No, you know, when you have a run of gutters, they're in. At least before yards or something.
Yes.
And then you have a join, etc. Well, that join, I suddenly saw water rushing down the wall.
You see, that's a comparable thing to what happened in our. And that was Swin too. I'll do that. Swin's assistant, at any rate, made water tip straight out of the hopper head down the wall. You could never think
Into the cavity between the skin and the old wooden structure.
Yes.
I had to tear it all off there. The original,
I think maybe you should have done much more, actually, but I haven't argued because you see, you can't. Nobody has taken the bricks down out now because he can't put bricks in. Can't do the brickwork now, much too wet.
Oh, yes. Can you manage, love?
Yes, thank you, dear.
So I'm suffering.
Maybe I find
but my purse will suffer in the summer, frightfully. And you see, you know the board over the gutters?
Yes.
Well, Mayhew said it doesn't look as if it's been painted once since it was built.
Yeah.
And that's all wrong.
No one have any more of these potatoes. Oh, Anne, come on.
No, I'm not
you're singing.
Person. No, I just don't like potatoes.
Oh.
I like potatoes. I always have hunks and huge.
Do you have any more, Molly?
Huge chunk of bread. I had a huge chunk of bread with tea pan.
You should never eat when you're going out to supper.
That's right.
No, I just don't like it. You've only got three bits.
No, I've got crabs.
Really?
I've probably got much too much.
Well, I think I'll leave it there. The dishes are so hot, it couldn't possibly cool it. Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for
the
past.
There now.
There's a very slight prickle with it, isn't there, Noel? It's not supposed to be a fizzy, is it? They often do that, don't they? They give a little tiny prickle.
It was a wine?
Yes.
I was going to make a remark. It was well written up in the wine society. I would describe it as nice but innocuous.
Yes, it's all right.
That's what, darling?
Nice but innocuous.
I see. Oh, well, so long as it's nice as well as innocuous. Mm. And not nasty and innocuous.
It has got a very slight fizziness, though, hasn't it? A very slight cool pickle, which often goes out of it when it's there.
It's humanity and all a lot of those Italian wines. Yeah.
Now, it's reminiscent. That can't be my deja vu, because I don't think it can in taste. But it's reminiscent of something to me.
Oh, is it?
I don't know what.
Many white wines are spritzy, aren't they?
Oh yes, but this isn't, I think, not meant to be sparkly, but it often gets a little secondary fermentation at the bottom.
It's a little bit like it.
No, does it? Mm.
And it sort of fades. You carry it with the red one, which is very strange. So.
I know that would that already been...
I agree. That is very strange.
Sort of doubts on the Italian wine once or twice. That when I ordered this, I took good care to order up in the price range somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you're not fond enough of white wine, are you, too?
No.
No, I'm not either. I'm not red.
You mean to say you ladies would have accepted red?
alas.
I'm going to bother very quick.
Alas. No.
And it doesn't really go with fish, does it? Not really. Mm.
Shall I tell you the secret about it? It's very good. I'm glad I asked. Couldn't quite work out what it was. Shall I tell you a little secret about it? It's up at the fish shop in Framingham, and it is now cheaper than cod.
But it does sometimes happen, doesn't it?
Cod is £2.95 a pound, and halibut fillet is £2.60.
Really? Well, cod was stuck. We used to moan at when we were children.
Yes.
And it was the cheapest fish. Cheapest fish.
Yes.
I mean, it was a common fish, wasn't it?
They're trying to put us off it, aren't they, because of the overfishing that's been.
Well, you don't see much now is hake, is it?
No, you don't, and when we were children,
that was much nicer.
My mother used to do a great big piece of hake, with as if it was chicken, with parsley thyme stuffing, a little bit of bacon, and it was baked, and that was lovely, yes.
Yet I had a grandfather who was fairly knowledgeable about fish, who used to say that hake was the scavenger of the seas.
A lot of people say they don't fancy hake because it eats a lot of all this.
Well, nobody eats shrimp.
But the mackerel, yes, exactly. Mackerel is one of the main.
I love mackerel.
Supposed to eat dead
sailors. Described as a dirty eater.
Well, shrimps and prawns aren't they?
And full of phosphorus.
Oh, really?
Good for bones.
Are they?
Brain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, they are.
Are they?
They're the ones that shine in the dark. Oh. When you're coming home from sailing and you've got to run the last bit.
And I've seen it do it in a larder. I don't know whether it was.
Oh, yes.
I
do.
Yes.
Haddock was shown up in the larder and Haddock's got phosphorus in it.
Really? Oh, yes.
Look what
I've done. Oh, well. Oh, no. Now, wasn't it a marvellous day today?
Absolutely incredible.
Do you know that His Lordship cut the ground, the field?
Really?
I wish Percy would cut mine.
Nearly the whole of it, not the whole of it.
John the butcher, there was people in the butcher this morning, and I said, they were saying it was going to snow. I said, it won't snow, will it, John? He said, well, you've been right since Christmas, and if you say it's not going to snow, it's not going to snow.
Well, the birds, when I walked up the village this morning, the birds were singing those songs that they sing in the real spring.
I just so wish we'd had lots of rain.
Well, we can't have it, Anne.
No.
We shan't have it.
Anne Bloomfield is terribly on my side. She still hasn't rained every time I see her. Nothing. She said, if you dig down a little way, it's dry from 1989 still.
I wonder whether that's... you see, it looks damp on the top, doesn't it?
No, it's slimy. Oh, it is. Maybe they found that 6 inches, it's dry.
I've nearly gone what they call out of the head. At least four times lately, just walking in the garden on
flat soil. Very slimy, isn't it? Very slimy.
And jolly well. Terribly slimy.
It just would be so awful to lose our lovely trees, as well, so I'm so dependent on the beautiful trees. That's all I worry about. There's no good worrying about it, I do know that.
Which is worrying,
really. Well, I've met Pat, what's her name, Boys. She said, David said he saw two snowflakes. Well, I said, if I see three snowflakes, we're off to Tenerife.
we had a very slight snow shower about 2 days ago, didn't we?
Yes. It was powdery, just very little powder.
And it didn't stay.
We were on the way back from visiting Richard, you know, and I said, that snow. Just powdery.
And we had half an hour's sleet once, about 2 days ago, and it bounced and bounced and bounced, and I thought it was going on for ages, but it didn't. Soon disappeared.
You haven't got any fish left in your pond, have you?
No.
Have you?
Heron took the lot. Claire saw. And we were having lunch, late lunch, on fortnight ago, I suppose, on Sunday, because they were going soon, and Claire was staring up the garden. You see, I can see the gable and the gables of the lodge, but I can't see. It all looks the same to me. And the heron, you see, is the same colour to me as the grass. There's a heron swallowing my lovely goldfish. We all rushed out and said shoo, and it flew away. And then Claire and I went up a little bit later, and we found two goldfish, two golden
rods. They damage them, don't they?
They swallow them. I mean, they swallow them quite nicely. And I said, well, that's cherry. And the next day I went on it, and there wasn't even a snail in the pond. Nothing at all. I think I got the carp, too.
Is it practical to spread a wire netting over the pond, Molly?
Well, yes, I know, but I'm not having that. But what I am going to do, but I can't do it until the spring, at least until Percy's cut the grass for the first time, up there, then I'm going to do what is the proper thing to do, which is short bamboo.
The fence that high, yes.
Short bamboo is about a foot from the pond. Black stuff.
The behaviour, they're so inflexible with their program. They always land about 3 feet from the water and
You see, and they get the feet tangled. But I can't, but it's no good doing it now because you see, dogs can get in at present and rushing about and wave people.
You mean do anything horrid to them, tangle them, need you? I mean, you can just blow a while.
No, they just go away.
I see.
They don't like it. They take a bit of the, it's not wire, it's just fringe, you see. And they take a bit with them.
Mm-hmm. My father always used to do that for his goose, because the birds love the yellow ones, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And he was dashed, he was going to lose his yellow crocus every year. So he spread black cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And they jolly soon learned that that's what was there.
Mm. Yes, Dick used to tie everything up with black cotton again for sparrows. I used to get really fed up with it. Poor little things.
I thought I got.
I understand now. More
no, wild purple crocuses, which I got from Good Cook. And I thought I got no.
Aconites, you told me.
No aconites. Now I've got.
They've come now, haven't they?
Aconites, yes. Right there.
Yeah, I told you.
I
told you.
Four more clumps. And I've got five clumps of snowdrops, somewhere I didn't even know I had snowdrops, and now I have found those lovely little wild purple crocuses.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think what that blue was, right through the middle of the plant, needless to say, and they're all coming up, and they're on my heavey.
Good.
So I found that there, but I've lost my bay tree.
Mm.
Well, that's
moles.
Mm. Moles,
yeah. Well, they got down in the drought.
They've got nothing again this year.
They've got nothing.
They have a lot of games to your boys.
Really?
Well, I've got millions.
Really?
I must ring Eddie Warner and ask him if he can get them yet. I don't know whether you can get them when it's weather like this.
Mm. Why do you say we have more now?
I don't know why we've got more, but we've got a lot.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were prophesying. We've got some, have we?
Mm.
I don't know how many.
Mm.
Even in the bank.
That we forget them. They come from a bank and a ditch, always.
Well, you certainly got them.
Well, I'm going to get Eddie Warner, aren't you? And come to you afterwards, eh?
Now, who's Eddie Warner?
Well, Mrs. Warner's son.
Oh.
And when I said to him, because he shops, as he says, my tools, and he's wonderful, and mind you, they're much too heavy for me because they're my father's, and they're heavy iron things, but I must get some fresh. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do without Jack Parker, because he was so wonderful with my moles last year. He said, you haven't had me yet. So I thought, well, if he thinks he's as good as that, I better have him.
Trouble is, if you remove moles, you just leave an evolutionary niche for them, and they're another lot move in from the field. You can never get rid of them, because if you remove your own private moles, another lot come in, you see.
Oh, how lovely.
Now, do you mean that they wouldn't come and visit if you had your own moles?
Well, they won't over-densify, won't make the population too dense, you see.
I see.
And they're territorial thing.
Mine come in from Joyce's.
Yes, I'm sure they will.
And they go over to Hughes.
Yeah.
And there are hundreds of them this year.
I consider four moles are too dense.
Yes.
One more excuse then for me, because they always get under your favourite plant.
Can I pass you some more vegetables, huh?
No, I'm doing fine, thank you, darling. But please encourage other people to have some.
Well, I'm sorry.
I've been trying to.
I have to shovel mine in.
Well,
I
need a little bit more.
Right.
I hope you're never looking at me, because I have to shovel it in.
Why not?
I put my knife down to fix
my
knife.
Molly, do you know that I dislocated my jaw in November?
Mm-hmm.
Just eating a sandwich.
How could you?
Eating a sandwich. Mm. I don't know.
But
it clicked. Well, occasionally before, very occasionally, I had that happen.
I should die.
And the slightest sort of movement has readjusted it. This would not move at all. And I'm shoveling my food now because it's so difficult. I still can't do it quite fully.
Got more wine, Molly?
They'd be wonderful at last. By the way, did I tell you they put me on some tablets to relax the muscles? Yes, didn't I? Well, there must be something in it because I feel so relaxed these days.
I can't get up about anything.
Good.
No quarrels. somebody tells me that Sarah is doing very well, but has had a foul cold ever since she's been over there.
Yes, she went there with. Yes, she has.
Mm.
I phoned her on the fourth night to say goodnight to her, that was all. Not having spoken to her in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually at 9 o'clock.
Well, she's not very bad. I was in Berry, you see.
Mm.
Arbor lives at Fordham, which is just the other side of Berry for the house.
Mm.
It's very bad at the start with the new people with a nasty cold.
Mm.
She can't make.
But she can be very secluded there. Mm. She can be just as private as she wants.
Oh, it's a lovely little lane. I've always loved that lane. I've known it since I was 10.
Have you?
10. Yeah. And I've known Derrish and Edmund since I was 6 weeks old. I was taken there the first time when I was 6 weeks old in a motorcycle down from London to just within 10 miles of Bury St Edmunds. Why I didn't die, I don't know. Well, a motorcycle.
Yes, absolutely. I'm astonished that in your time they would do that.
Because my grandmother wanted to see her first grandchild before she died.
Oh, yeah.
And she died about 2 months later.
6 weeks.
She did.
You see,
she
didn't
manage Polly.
Really?
I mean, Polly's 6 weeks younger than I, and Grandma never saw her.
Oh, what a
shame.
She
had a grandson before that. She had a grandson who was born in 1893, and his name was Ogmund Gates.
I really didn't think that in those days anybody would have considered taking a child out like that, you know. They do it now,
well,
and it drives me up the wall. The things they will do to these new little things, I never used to hear that I were really here until they
were. Did it have a lasting effect on him, Molly?
Well, you can
buy that. That's only for the good, I think. Yeah.
You don't like motorbikes and sidecars, is that all it?
Well, I used to ride a motorbike. My father had a Triumph motorbike because he thought, I don't know why he bought it, and he was terrified of it because it was very fierce. And my brothers used to ride it, so I used to ride it. And I rode it for miles. And I rode it in an old Burberry, and I don't know how I started it, I think it was a kickstart. It must have been. And then we were at Frinton, masses of us, and we all used to go to Frinton in the summer, because one of my uncles had a house there, and we knew the people who, Dad used to play golf, Mother used to knit on the beach. You know?
Oh, yes.
And we used to, masses of cousins there. And one of my, Jean, my cousin, about 10 months younger than I, said, "Can I have a go, Molly?" I said, "Yes." See, Dad's motorbike. And so she went. If you know Frinton, you could go, in those
yes,
days, you could go around, well, it's not the same now, but in those days, you could go around past the Summer Theatre and down Old Road where we were staying and onto the, and do a circle, you see. And we started off and she went round. And as she went past the second time, she said, "I can't stop."
Oh.
And then she went round again and we said, "Well, push so and so."
Oh, how awful. Oh, my. How awful.
You told her how to stop, you said.
Yeah, I'd rather not being able to get off my sister's much bigger pushbike. It's an ordinary pushbike.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was pedalling frantically around, didn't know how to get off it because it was much too high. And I remember just sort of leaping onto some grass and just letting it go. And I couldn't think how else to get off.
I can't remember learning how to get off the bike. I know. I probably didn't learn, you see, because I borrowed my father's or something when I was about 12, and I remember bashing into a nanny with a pram. She was furious with me.
I bet she was. I bet she was.
I sympathised with her nowadays, but I didn't then because she was beastly to me.
Now, this is where the meal gets a little bit French, because I have a sauce to deal with. So you are left with just conversation.
Can I top your glass up, my love?
No, thank you, darling.
I had an experience with a bike when I was very small. A girl up the road was given a bike, and I had quite quietly learnt how to ride a bike, more or less. And I said, "Can I have a ride?" And she said, "Yes." And I went up and down the road and miles away and came back. And I couldn't stop because this bike was very old fashioned, and you had to stop it by bending backwards.
I've heard of it.
And I said, there are no brakes. Yeah. Anyhow, I steered it straight up somebody's driving to their garden.
That's what happened. Yes. How awful. I've never ridden one, but I've heard of it from this backwards.
Yes,
be quite good, although you might do it by accident sometimes and be rather a jerk.
Well, I've never heard of it.
Very suddenly, you see. Backpedaling, mustn't you?
Yeah.
You might stop very suddenly.
I've never actually properly ridden one.
No, I never have, certainly.
I've never ridden this girl's bike. Can't stop.
I can remember
riding up this slope into a onto grass or something.
How are your, I've heard about Sebastian lately, but how's little Dominic getting on? Is he alright?
Oh, he's fine, yes. They make too much fuss of him, they bring him back too often, but he's doing alright.
Good.
And John has got an order to build a new organ for the chapel.
There, at John's?
At John's.
Oh, how lovely.
Well, okay, good.
Yes. That's the second one since the war.
Why do they need a new one?
They had a new one after the war.
Why do they want another one?
It just isn't satisfactory.
How extraordinary.
No. John's got to build a new one.
Mm. He's not complaining.
No. And your old standing ground. What? Going to build a new organ for Chelmsford Cathedral.
Really? I'm off Chelmsford Cathedral. It's ghastly.
I can't
and
it.
So is the bloody bishop there.
Yeah,
it's absolutely awful. Yeah. And if you wanted to hear about Chelmsford Cathedral, ring Estelle Keel, who's a humorist and 80-something, but still on the ball. She'll tell you about Chelmsford Cathedral. Estelle Keel.
Who's that?
Keely's sister.
Oh, Keely's sister. Oh, yeah, I've met her.
And,
oh,
she's marvellous. Yeah. She's 86 and she lives alone. And she's absolutely again, it's the archdeacon there who's the trouble. He had a bulldozer to bulldoze up the aisles and bulldoze the sanctuary. And he's thrown away God knows what. I mean, there were all sorts of things there. And he got rid of the beautiful eagle, reading this. And he got rid of the bishop's chair. Bishop's, what do they call it?
Throne.
Bishop's throne. And he's put a wrought iron one there.
Well, well,
she won't go near it. Do you know where she goes? Opposite her is the, nearly next door to her, is the old Quaker chapel.
Which is
this beautiful building and nobody can pull it down.
Not chapel, Molly.
No,
meeting
house. Meeting house, yes. And opposite her is where the Quakers meet now, because they can't afford to run the chapel, the meeting house, as a big one, and they're getting fewer. She says, I sometimes just walk across the road and go to the meeting house.
Well, I've got a theory.
Rather than the cathedral.
Yeah.
I've got a theory. I have a feeling there's going to be a great revival of people with a Quaker mind.
Yes, I do agree. But the trouble is, Noel, in the meantime, the Quakers have fallen apart, because the Quakers have filled themselves up with sort of barefooted raw carrot eaters and beans, that haven't ever read the Bible, that think here's a sort of Eastern religion type meditation thing, and it's no good at all. The old-fashioned Quakers who are steeped in everything. Mm. Now, what I learnt at college this week, which is rather interesting, I think, and I think you'll be interested. In the Bible, in the New part, the New Testament, there's an epistle of James.
Yes.
Well, now, I am told that that is the earliest thing at all.
I've heard that.
It is actually a brother of Jesus in his family, and so it's very much as he was thinking. And it should be in the Old Testament, really, because it was written, you know, before Jesus, before the crucifixion. And it's been quickly Christianized. There are just two little mentions at the beginning of two chapters to Christianize it, so it was popped into the New Testament. And it's the nearest we can get to teaching. Of course, it's totally Jewish, but it's the Jewish teaching as Christ would have preached it, you see. Yeah. And it's for all the family. And there's, towards the end of the first chapter, there's a bit all about temptation and deliver us from evil kind of thing, which is obviously rather from the Lord's Prayer, and yet it's rather explained rather nicely. It's a lovely, lovely book. So if
I have never read it.
I've heard about that.
It's lovely. It really is lovely. And you really feel that here is
something. Walk home.
It seems to be everything sort of in a nutshell. You don't need any of the rest of the New Testament. That's just quite enough. It's just the Jewish thing filled out slightly and a little bit less rules. And you know, it's very, very lovely.
Well, of course,
Chapter was full of Quaker. I mean, I can quote the Quaker families who still live there. All the important people were Quaker families when I lived there, you see. And the marriages and
the Barclays were Norfolk Moor, weren't they?
I think they were. Yes, I mean, I can't remember. The Townsends and the marriages and
I can't remember now,
but there are at least five. I was thinking of that the other night, of the five at least Stunts, the solicitors, they were Quakers. Stunts, marriages, Townsend, and something else, I can't remember.
I always think of the marriages, I met one or two of those. I go through on the train, the mill is still standing there with the name on the side.
Oh, they're lovely people.
They
ran everything.
I feel that all this doctrine, most religions are spoiled by doctrine.
Nobody believes any of it now. It's absolutely a pretense. I know, it's terribly sad. Even the Bishop of Durham, I've just recently bought one of his books, and I rather wish I hadn't, not liking it much. He's still much too orthodox, really. He's still hanging on to the thing and trying to show.
Well, I mean, you can't be a fishmonger on Christ sinking fish, can you?
No. Well, I know they blamed him for that, and he says you can, because he says it's important for it to be a living thing that's got to change with the times. In all that way, he's quite correct, I think. It's just that he hasn't, to me, changed enough. He's still stuck up with all these various things.
Well, I mean, let's face it, if he was really convinced of the falsity of most of it, he couldn't in conscience retain his see, could he?
Well, he reckons you can see it in a different way. You can see it entirely symbolically and spiritually, and that things don't have to have happened in fact, and that the stories were told to make a point, and the trouble is people have lost the point and kept the story. You know, which is fair enough.
Well, the earliest man who used to think like this was Albert Schweitzer.
Yes.
Oh yes, of course.
Yeah.
He wrote that marvellous book.
Oh, well, I've got about six of his books in there.
Well, I have all of his books.
Question of Historic Jesus.
With that famous last chapter, which is so lovely, when he sort of says, well, you still can spiritually meet Jesus, even though, you know, it's a rather lovely the last chapter. Say you lose him the more you search for him historically, but there is a something hanging about still, which in a funny way perhaps there is. I don't know, I'm very, very, very tied up with it. I don't feel happy with it at all.
I don't think one has to worry too much.
We've been brought up so much, Christian, that I just find it difficult to admit that one's rather, you know. But certainly that epistle of James, to me, was just marvellous, just everything.
I can't ever remember reading James. If I have, I've forgotten about it. I shall read him tonight.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Did you go to Sears funeral?
Yes.
I chose the reading.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yes.
It was very nicely done. Lois was very upset because she forgot to have anyone to take the names. I wrote down as many as I could think of, and I asked Margaret Murrell, who had a better view as she was, and she told me a lot of other people, so I think we got a pretty comprehensive list, actually.
Well, we couldn't go anyhow.
I
must say David Moyes did rather well. He steered round and said how he admired him continuing to make his daily walk up and down the village, and you know, things you could say are quite admirable, really.
That's quite true. And he
had a great reputation.
So busy, she couldn't.
He was the only man in the British Legion who never bought something else to drink.
Now, Molly, I haven't given you a large helping, but it's a ginger pudding. I've been dying to make a good ginger pudding for years. So wait and see if it's any good.
There, Molly, there's some cream. Some custard.
Is sauce essential?
I should think on this. It moistens it. It's an egg custard, so it's, you know, it's worthy of your attention.
I don't like it. Cream on everything.
And certainly small helpings, because you can come for more.
Thank you.
Saved up on squab potato, you see.
Smart girl.
Potatoes.
They're good for you. I wish I liked them.
Plain more.
I don't like them.
I think.
What was that, Molly?
So long as they're not just plain boiled and nothing
else. Yes. What happened with these was to
pot boil them.
And then pop them into pop them into the fat.
And I love them in the jacket, but not that I'm company because I can't cope very easily with my ice.
I love jacket potato, but then I'm wasteful with the jacket. I don't like the jacket.
Oh, I love the jacket.
I love the jacket, but I can't cope.
Because I can't cut it properly.
Yeah, I'm always torn between conscious eating a jacket or letting the birds enjoy it.
Yes. The birds do, you see. Don't they? They love it.
Wish we'd got another robin. We haven't had one this year.
No, I haven't got my robin.
We haven't had one that comes on our It's just had at the last minute.
Well, he must have died a little or something. I mean, why should he die? I mean, my robin still comes around. That's my joy. I've had him for years.
To feed them on the hands, you know.
Cats are very bad with them, aren't they? Cats catch them easily.
We haven't got any cats, actually.
I don't like cats.
Round here at all. Round our house.
My next door neighbour's cat is such a nuisance to me.
So is mine.
He comes over. He does all his job is in my garden, and he scrapes up all the soil, and Lindsay hasn't got any soil, she's just got grass, so obviously it's going to come to me.
Oh, can't you stop
it? I put some nice pretty flags on my flower bed, because it seems, I just did it, anyway. And they're all...
Is that the boy with the imitation cat outside?
No.
The sculptor. We call him... What do we call the sculptor who lives along
the... I call him Epstein.
I call him Epstein. Next door to the post office.
The girl in the end cottage.
Yes, I know.
Why not?
This isn't a girl, it's a boy.
Mine is a girl, this one's a boy, but the one next to me is a girl.
Why Mark's boy? Oh, is it?
Well,
she has boys there, so it's not surprising you get...
But that's nothing to do with this one nearby.
No, he's a boy. I made a wonderful mistake, I didn't tell you he did. I went in the mill to get some wood. I noticed this young man, and I think I told you I found him smoking in the porch. And I said to young, what's his name? Dan, the wax of the mill. A funny young man you've got there, working with. He said, you're wrong. It's a girl.
Was it to her that you said, don't you dare go in smoking?
I can't tell the difference. I mean, very often the girl's hair is shorter than the boy's, isn't it?
He looked at me rather balefully once or twice.
Well, John thinks everything German is that much superior to everything British.
Oh, gosh.
Germans in the factory now, you see. I don't think there are any better workers than our people, on the whole.
No,
I don't think they are. Not for a minute.
Our people need the work.
Absolutely so. You try telling John that.
I'm surprised they get work permits, as America won't give them work permits, will it? People have a
terrible
job.
But it's a common market, Becky.
Swin's daughter Damon, who's waiting to go to Holland. Is it Holland? Yes, Amsterdam, I think, somewhere there. And on a job of an English girl who's starting a factory out there, and they are going to manage it. She worries stiff, you see, because she said, now that Germany and Holland are starting in the recession, once they're there, if the recession comes, they'll chuck out her husband immediately. And they'll chuck out the English workers because the Dutch don't want English workers, you see.
And yet we have a letter.
And yet we have them over here, and they say English exchange.
We had a letter a few weeks ago at Christmas time from Portuguese family that we know. And that one of their sons is in love with, I suppose, a Dutch girl. And he's rather upset because she is now coming over to Britain to work for Telecom.
Oh, really?
Oh,
God.
Now, why?
Mm.
I don't see it.
Why can't some of our jobbers go away and get jobs elsewhere?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're unemployable.
Anyhow, this funny creature, I should know it. I should not realise that she's
female.
I trust you won't be any more chary of telling her not to smoke in the woodshop.
I should tell her if I find her smoking in or near the woodshop.
Yes, I think so.
She'll get even stronger.
Yes. Yes.
Allow him to boat him.
Yeah.
No, of course, I miss the discipline.
Yes,
it's not quite the same.
Never mind, John's doing jolly well, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
You are very lucky, so you might easily have had nobody in the family.
Oh, I'm so
lucky.
He's just got Chelmsford Cathedral.
Yes, no, I was telling him, I'm so lucky.
Doing any organ for Lincoln's Inn?
Really?
On St John's College, Cambridge.
Yes. St John's College, Cambridge.
Canadian Chelmsford.
A tiny bit, absolutely delicious.
Well, it's got real ginger in it, I think that makes it so good, doesn't it?
Nice.
Do you know this was on Food and Drink last week on the television?
Oh, I saw in the Radio Times it was going to be.
Help yourself. I'm sad to say that has curdled since I put it in the jug.
Oh, shame. Do you ever cheat and put a little bit of cornflour?
It's got it in.
Oh, it has it. That usually stops it.
And I thought I'd caught it. Yeah. And I had caught it. It was all right when I poured it in. Oh, have some.
Yeah, I will. Now you think
what kind of ginger? What fresh ginger?
No, it's the flavouring in the flour is the ground ginger, of course. And then this is the stem ginger. Will you have a soup some more?
What do you mean, stem ginger?
In syrup.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Because, you see, whenever I want to buy ginger, dry ginger is great.
Do you want some more?
Because I use a great amount of ginger rather than the ginger.
Oh, yes. That's it.
What do you use then? The fresh ginger?
No, the dry ginger.
Oh, the dry ginger. It's like rocks, isn't it? Mm. How can you do that? It's like rocks, isn't it?
Well, you grate it, you see.
I
was thinking of making gingerbread. You grate your ginger.
Mm.
And it's much nicer than the
ginger
that you buy.
Yes,
you see, when I tried to buy some, I think it was Loaves and Fishes or something, Wood, which is a silly, damn silly place anyway. And they offer me green ginger, you see.
Mm.
Well, now, what to do with green ginger?
You put it into casserole or something, or into fruit.
If I know, but do you eat it, or do you just put it in and flavour it?
I think mostly flavour it. I suppose you can
eat
it, but...
I suppose you can eat it.
Mm.
Yes, but you put cloves in, and you don't eat them. But they
what to do with ginger? I've eaten ginger of that kind, green ginger, in Chinese dishes.
Because I've got mistake, is it? Yes, I know in Chinese dishes, but I don't quite know what they do with it.
Mm. You didn't buy a great big piece, I hope, did you?
Well, they were as big as that.
Mm.
I chucked it out.
If I were to put it in, because it dries off, doesn't it?
Mm.
If I were to put it in stewed apples or something, I wouldn't eat the actual ginger. But in a casserole, it's nice.
No, but there's no point in putting it in apples, because you grate your dried fruit ginger or something like that.
Mm.
Or you can put some ginger in syrup.
Yes.
In that.
Yes.
And I like that.
I've got quite a lot of dried ginger. A little bit more. Just a touch more. I can remember the first time I ever came across dried ginger. One of my school girlfriends was giving me a recipe for ginger beer.
Mm.
For Christmas, and it was delicious the way her mother made it. So she started with me writing it down, you see, and she told me the ingredients. And then she said, you bruise the ginger. Bruise the ginger. Fancy her saying it. She was my grammar school friend, you see. You bruise the ginger. I thought, well, I'm blessed. Of course, it was ages before I knew she meant bruise. Once I started to make it, I realised what it was. B-R-U-I-S-E.
Yeah.
But it sounded very peculiar, I must say.
Mother used to make wonderful ginger beer and never brought up on it. But she didn't think it was intoxicating. It is frightening.
It is, you know. They don't believe it.
Oh, I love that ginger beer that Mother used to make.
Yeah, don't be about Clexatronis in working on John. tall, derby-looking thing. And Dad's got it.
No, I can't say. I've been to Vinder a few times.
Right, his dad just showed him that. Next to the Roebuck. It's a wine merchant's now.
Yeah,
it's off license.
Oh.
Not Odd Bins, it's the other one.
No, the other one.
Yeah, I know the one, I've been there before.
Those houses there, you know where the new shops are?
Yeah.
Seconds out and all that.
Yeah.
That was up. There's a drill there, see?
Where's the drill?
You used to go up there, then the house there and that pub was here.
Oh, what, the?
Exchange.
Exchange.
The Wheat Sheaf, then, not that down. Well, the Bergens is there.
Yeah.
And that's Odd Bins now, isn't it?
Yeah, there. Out of the west was one.
Well, they wore caps. Even the Lennons all wore caps, didn't they? They wore caps and big moustaches when they grew up.
Well, everybody wore caps in them days, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, he's got boater on.
Yeah, he's got a straw boater.
Must have been a butcher or a baker. Or a casual
stick
maker.
Or a stick maker. They'll keep farting.
There's like...
So my mum was
flying.
Yeah. That looks like a canal along there, doesn't it?
Hmm?
Like a canal along
there. Yeah, I thought it was.
No,
what is it?
It's a wet road, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it says here, on a sunny day.
The Avon and Wokenham Canal.
No, it's not even water, is it? It's just wet tarmac.
Yeah, it's a wet tarmac.
Where it's smooth.
That's the bit they knocked down to put the... Smithson at the other side of here, this bit here.
Mm-hmm. That was the King's Head.
Yeah.
Christ, they're two together then.
Yeah, next door to one there.
The red line there.
It used to be coaching in, didn't it? The coaches used to go through there. The same as the rose, wasn't it?
Mm.
And the bush.
Yeah, the rose.
The coaches used to.
They actually walk through the middle of it, don't you?
Yeah, you do there, don't you? You walk down the side of the pub there. Well, that used to be it. Because you go through that,